Of course, one of the big parts of any holiday season is baking. Our next guest is here to tell us that it is possible to say goodbye to gluten and enjoy holiday baking. She says you can enjoy your favorite holiday baked goods anytime. Gluten-free baking expert Jean Savage joins us. She has perfected 60 recipes that are included in the new book, Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, 60 Recipes for Traditional Festive Treats. It's published by Chronicle. Jean Savage, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
At what point did you become a gluten-free baking expert? Was that by necessity?
It was. I was diagnosed as gluten intolerant after the birth of my daughter in 2000. And before that, I had been a very prolific and keen baker, you know, one of those people that just was always baking. And after about a year of mourning the fact that I couldn't bake with wheat anymore, I kind of pulled myself up by my bootstraps and got to work figuring out how to bake gluten-free. And so it's been about 12 years of this journey with, you know, kind of figuring it out and then perfecting it.
What are the necessary ingredients in the sense of what must you have in your arsenal to be able to bake gluten-free?
Well, I think that the two most important things are a good mix of flours. One thing about gluten-free baking is there's no one flour that works like wheat flour. So you can't just pull, for example, white rice flour off the shelf and bake with it and have results that feel and taste the same. So you need a good mix, and I've developed one, and the recipe for it is in my book. And then I think the second thing is just a willingness to do it, just to kind of get in the kitchen and start working.
And I assume there's a lot of trial and error. I mean, you try to avoid that in the book, of course, but I assume even for someone beginning this, there's a little trial and error.
Well, I think so, especially if you're... One of the things I'm noticing is people get diagnosed, with gluten intolerance, or they're told by their doctor, don't eat gluten, and then they're kind of sent away and they have to figure it out on their own. And so what you have to do is kind of reorient your brain a bit to accept the fact that you can bake gluten-free and then to kind of get in the kitchen and start doing it. If you have good recipes, it's actually not that hard, but it's still a bit of a wild west out there, and there are just tons and tons of recipes out there. And part of the problem is you often don't know if they're going to turn out the way you expect them to turn out. And I think that's an important thing, is the expectation. So many people have recipes that are, for example, whole grain oriented or paleo oriented or vegan. And those things aren't going to taste the same as your childhood cookie that was made with all purpose flour. And so I think you have to be aware of what the recipe writer is doing and then what your expectations are. And so in my book, my goal was to make things that simulate their wheat counterparts, so they taste the same and they feel the same. And so you have that same sense of accomplishment and also enjoyment that you're having a treat.
So you mentioned flour, and you have an all-purpose mix of flour, which is brown rice flour, white rice flour, sweet rice flour, and tapioca flour. But then you have the other elements of baking to deal with, obviously eggs, butter and dairy products, and oil, and you come up with different things that you can use. Now, eggs are okay, right? Those are the binders.
Correct. Eggs and dairy are fine. There's no gluten in either one of those.
And so you're pretty much, you can use whatever you want.
For the most part, there really aren't that many things in the baking arsenal anymore that contain gluten or wheat ingredients. A while ago, some baking powders contained wheat starch as something that kept it fresh. But in the United States, as far as I can tell, there is no wheat starch in any of the baking powders. But there's still a lot of old information out there, and that old information tells people to avoid baking powders sometimes, but you don't need to do that anymore.
And as far as oil, You use a rice bran oil?
I use rice bran oil just because I like it. Any kind of oil should be fine unless you're using, for some reason, like a leftover oil that you fried, breaded onion rings in that were breaded with a wheat flour or something like that. But if you're just using oil straight from the bottle, it should be fine. And I use rice bran oil because it's flavorless, it's very clean, it has a high smoke point, meaning that you can fry things in it. So that's just my preference. You can also use, whatever's in your kitchen, canola oil or safflower, whatever you use.
Are you trying in many cases to find a replacement in the sense of you want these to taste as good as the quote-unquote originals, or are you looking for something that you can take these ingredients and really show off what they can do?
Well, I think both. So a perfect example of that is pie crust. One thing I want to do is make sure that the pie crust is flaky and light and not tough and is, something that people really enjoy having in their pie. Now, the thing about gluten-free pie crust is that it actually has a leg up on gluten ingredients because there's no gluten in it to toughen. And so many pie makers will remember that the wheat instructions will tell you not to overwork the dough because you don't want to develop the gluten, which will make the pie crust tough. And for gluten-free pie crust, there's no gluten to develop. So it actually, people tell me my pie crust is more flaky than a wheat pie crust. So I think that kind of shows off that I've achieved both of the things you've talked about.
On the cover of the book, you show there's wonderful cookies, obviously cakes. There's all kinds of different things. And it reminds of why this book is so important for the holidays is because baking is so important around the holidays. So traditional.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely important in my life. It's kind of time for me to just kind of let loose and go to town in the kitchen. I like nothing better than to just bake my heart out during the holidays.
And this hasn't hindered you at all. You've been able to play and find things that are suitable replacements.
Yeah, for the most part, I really haven't found anything that I feel like I can't do gluten-free. And I think part of my thought is that everything that we eat, even if it's been manufactured commercially for my lifetime, someone somewhere earlier in history was making it by hand. So my thought is, I can make anything by hand if given the time and the space to experiment and come up with a recipe for it.
You know, there are the beautiful photography in the book, by the way, but you have a recipe in here for these jelly donuts that look absolutely magnificent.
Oh, thank you. Those are terrific. And yes, I just want to say that the photography is amazing. My photographer, Claire Barboza, is a genius with the camera. Her photos are just beautiful. But the Sustania, it's a traditional Hanukkah jelly donut. And it was so fun to come up with the recipe for that. And they are, if I do say so myself, they're delicious.
They look absolutely phenomenal. The name of the book is Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, 60 Recipes for Traditional Festive Treats. It is published by Chronicle Books. Jean Savage, I thank you very much for being with us. I hope you have a delightful holiday season, and I thank you very much for sharing your baking expertise with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays. Jean Savage is the author. It is published by Chronicle Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.